Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you, Andrew. You yourself look very relaxed and very happy.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, let's kind of dive right in. So what are you kind of big takeaways from this past week? I guess we'll leave the Alaska meeting maybe to the end or for another session.
Passe
But
popcorn.
economic data wise, Fed wise, yeah, what stood out, market reactions, etc.
I think there was a lot of noise, but the big picture didn't change much. So we just got retail sales. It's stronger if you take than expected, if you take into account revisions. But the thing is, once you deflate and you look at the trend, and also you compare retail sales with consumption, because retail sales is basically goods consumption and some spending on restaurant. Actually, you don't see, there's nothing in today's release to make you think that consumption is picking up. Consumption has been flat since the end of last year, which is a combination of consumers getting really worried about what's happening with the economy, tariff. Also, as Chair Powell said at the FOMC meeting, and it's a big driver of his concern about the labor market, consumption has been exceptionally strong after the pandemic, and he was expecting it to slow. And it started to slow. We've had 6 months of flat consumption, which in my view reflects that dynamics. The fact that during the pandemic, consumers got a lot of money from the government, so they were able to consume without borrowing. So they had room to borrow more once the government transfers ended. So they borrowed, but now they are no longer borrowing as much because they want to stabilize their debt level. So this is like a long-term factor that's slowing consumption. And then the other factor, which I discussed in my weekly, is the fact that the administration has tightened fiscal policy. If you look at the 12-month budget deficit in July, it was almost 1 percentage point of GDP lower than in January. So all these things are keeping
Well, but
consumption.
it still was higher than the previous year, right?
It's stabilizing.
Okay,
It's
fine.
stabilizing. And don't get me wrong, the US needs tighter fiscal policy.
Fine.
The problem is that if you implement tight fiscal, it's an issue with sequencing, basically,
Yeah.
that people are paying more for goods because of the tariff. I mean, it's not being passed entirely, but they are paying more. And so the administration has planned some tax cuts, but the increase in cost is happening before people can feel the decrease in taxes. And even the decrease in taxes is not going to be that big because you're just extending the current baseline. I mean, we have bigger deficits than if the Trump tax cut had not been extended, but relative to where we are now, the deficit is actually shrinking. So you have all those things which are keeping consumption very flat, and which, in my view, explain why Chair Powell, was more pessimistic about employment risk. So that's one part of the story. And the other part of the story is, of course, that we're not seeing evidence that the tariff are having an impact on inflation beyond the tariff goods. That's what Powell said at the presser. That's what St. Louis Fed president said yesterday. What the Fed is worried about is not the increase in prices. That's nothing we can do about it. We're all going to be poor. What they are worried about is that the increase in prices turns into a lasting increase in inflation. And if this was happening, we would see inflation contagion from tariff goods to non-tariff goods and to services not happening. And in my views, the PPI we got yesterday and people strongly reacted to, the PPI is, if you look at the data, the PPI is actually quite decoupled from CPI. CPI prices are closer, much more correlated with import prices than PPI. So we got data this week, which, was a bit freakish. Certainly the PPI increase was, but once you look at the detail, the big picture doesn't change. Inflation trend remain okay, even though prices are increasing, and no signs that people are consuming more, which is consistent with a big macro picture.
And you, I think there was a point like 4 or 6 weeks ago where the market was even questioning like your call on the September 25 basis points cut. And then I guess we had the kind of weaker pay like employment numbers and that kind of the revisions and that. Yeah, you've
So
been.
I have a nagging suspicion that the market is listening to the same LLM. I mean, there was a presser where it was clear. I mean, you just needed to read and stick to the text, and you could see that Powell had become more pessimistic on employment and less worried about inflation. All you needed to do was read and compare with the previous month. But there were a couple of statements that, taken out of context, could be misinterpreted. And yes, the statements were misinterpreted by the market. But
Right.
then we got the data, the revision to the employment data, and the source of the Chair Powell's concerns became clear. By the way, Chair Powell had the job data before the presser. So,
So that may have influenced, yeah.
yeah.
And then I just want to ask quick, so Jackson Hole, do you see that being any kind of event this year or no?
So depends what you call as event. For sure, this is last Chair Powell last Jackson Hole speech. Though with the administration, life is full of surprises. Who knows? But my base case, it's his last one. So what is he going to say? He's going to make a pitch for central bank independence. I think he's going, in terms of his assessment of the economy, I don't see how he could change from the presser, certainly not based on the CPI and on retail sales. So I think he's going to say again that, the balance of, I mean, he's not going to use such strong language, but he's going to say, I'm more worried about employment, less worried about inflation. And then he's going to add, every meeting is live. Decisions will be taken meeting by meeting based on all the information available. And in all fairness, we have one CPI and one NFP before September, the September FOMC. So it makes sense for him to say that. So, is this a big event? I mean, it always is, but in terms of is Powell going to communicate a change in his view? I don't think so.
Right. Okay, and then market reaction-wise, has anything surprised you or no?
For once, I agreed with the market. I mean, there wasn't much reaction to the PPI, and people ask why was there not more reaction? But I think, I mean, from my perspective, it makes sense. The PPI is not a game changer. PPI
Yeah.
and the CPI are quite decoupled.
Okay. Okay, cool. And now the week ahead.
So the week ahead, data-wise, it's a slow week. We are going to have data on the residential real estate market. One data that people are not paying attention to, and in my view, they should, is the Conference Board Leading Indicator Index. Let me explain why. It's because the last month, so this is published monthly, and last month it hits the recession trigger. The conference board didn't advertise too much because their index gave a false positive recession signal in 22-23, which in my view reflects largely the inversion of the yield curve,
Right.
which is over. I think we should take it into account really seriously because clearly we have a slowdown. We don't know if the slowdown will turn into a recession. So these are indicators like the conference board, or the OECD leading economic indicators, which is quite similar to the conference board and signals the same thing that the business cycle has peaked. We will get the OECD data on September 4th. We get the conference board this week. We also get weekly an update of the recession indicator of the Richmond Fed, which is based on labor market. It basically captures the fact that when you have a recession, unemployment increases very fast. So the rich, which is cl cl Claudia Sams,
Yeah.
Sams. The Richmond Fed is, in my view, a better version of Sam's rule. Their indicator has been going up. Their recession indicator has been going up for the past month or so, very consistently, still well below the recession trigger. But those three things, Richmond Fed, Conference Board, and OECD indicator, I think, given where we are with flat consumption, and basically, the economy being kept alive by huge capex from AI believers.
Right.
These are these three indicators we need to keep a close look on.
What's the probability you're giving for a 50 basis point cut in September?
So, to me, it's entirely dependent on the next NFP. I mean, assuming that inflation and wage growth remain benign, so no transmission of tariff to broader inflation pressure. If we have a big move in unemployment, like 20 basis points, then the Fed will get really worried that we are in the recession scenario because the most reliable marker of recession is acceleration in unemployment increases. And then I think they would go 50.
And this is pretty much just payrolls, not looking at weekly employment numbers or JOLTS or anything. So I'm
So
just thinking, like, from a trading standpoint, that's the place to own vol or gamma around. This is maybe a big one.
How the Fed looks at it, they always look at a whole set of numbers. So what you want to look at is their narrative. Like if we get suddenly a jump in claims, a
Right.
jump, I mean, if everything falls apart together, yeah, they'll go
That's a
50.
big one. Yeah.
But of all these indicators, the one that is the most important and the most likely to move, because like claims, it's a very, especially continuing, it's a very slow, very low volatility indicator. So the unemployment is the one most likely to move and with the biggest impact in terms of a Fed decision.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Anything else? Any what's on
So the
horizon? Yeah.
summit, I think the summit main impact is going to be another summit in Russia. I was going to say the USSR in Russia as a
You were
group.
looking at Sergey Lavrov's t-shirt.
Sergei Lavrov actually is probably the foreign affairs minister who has been minister for the longest of any country
Yeah.
in the world. So he's seen a lot. But basically, there's not going to be an agreement on Ukraine, because even if President Trump, so first of all, Russia is winning on the battlefield and winning big. So they are not going to make concessions. They have a list of very hard-nosed demands. They want a full oblast. They want Ukraine to become again neutral, give up NATO membership. Ukraine and the Europeans are absolutely not prepared to make those concessions. So even if President Trump was prepared to make those concessions and he would face strong opposition from the hawks within the administration and within Congress to those concessions, but even if he could make those concessions, the Ukrainians and the Europeans would disagree.
Right.
So we're not going to see an end to the war. In terms of economic cooperation, President Putin is bringing his finance minister, the head of Russia's sovereign wealth fund. So obviously he would like to tempt President Trump with some economic deals, investment deals. But again, with all the sanctions that Russia is under, there is hardly any scope. And again, President Trump would be under strong pressure from from American hawks not to make any deals. So what they could do is restart negotiations on missiles treaties, possibly. I think there will be a big PR operation on the part of President Putin, who gets invited by the US president on US soil. So I expect a lot of warm wishes and nice words, but not much concrete, not much market moving out of that
Right.
meeting.
I guess they could talk about some rare earth, maybe like a scope of some kind of partnership. And this would be so he starts setting a narrative of why the US should be closer with Russia as a counterbalance to China, especially on things where China has a
For sure.
strong
I
control over.
look, both Minister Lavrov and President Putin have, I think they have figured out the situation quite well. They are coming with things
Not
that they
their first rodeo.
precisely, precisely. Not their first Siberian rodeo. Anyway, so they are coming with things that President Trump will find attractive, but
Yes.
he has to deal with domestic politics and a very strong hawkish faction in Congress, bipartisan faction, and even within his administration. So I don't think we'll
That's
see
okay, yeah.
anything
Right.
rare earth
Right.
shattering, if I may say.
Okay, awesome. Well, we want to wish all our clients, viewers, kind of all the best of trading, investing. Well, first have a great weekend. It's time stamped on the Friday afternoon, London time, London afternoon. And yeah, I mean, I know the particularly the last few weeks. Been putting out a lot of cool stuff we're doing on the tech side, especially on very quick responses on data coming out. This was today was on, I guess generally on consensus, but on non-consensus stuff, we can now generate some interesting insights on where we predict the direction, the size of the moves in a bunch of different currencies, and then eventually expanding that out beyond currencies. So it should be really cool. Any parting words, anything or?
Good luck, everybody, though it's going to be a quiet week, so hopefully we can all catch our breath.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Thanks.